You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, Todd Zwillick with you, filling in for John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee, who are both out today. We're going to continue our discussion on last night's State of the Union address. With us now, the pundits, Farai Chidea, journalist and blogger at Farai.com, and Ron Christie, Republican political strategist and political contributor here at The Takeaway. Farai, good morning.
Morning.
Ron, good morning.
Morning, Todd.
Ron, you were on Twitter yesterday complaining that President Obama was sort of taking a class warfare attack against Mitt Romney. Listen to this clip right here, and then I'm going to get both of you to react.
When Americans talk about folks like me paying my fair share of taxes, it's not because they envy the rich. It's because they understand that when I get a tax break I don't need and the country can't afford, it either adds to the deficit or somebody else has to make up the difference.
Ron Christie, to me, using the word envy in that speech is a dog whistle that says Mitt Romney. You were complaining yesterday that the president was going to go there, and he went there.
Oh, he did go there. And, you know, it's very interesting. I saw a headline this morning encapsulating the president's speech, and it said, "Confrontation wrapped up in kumbaya." And I think that last clip exactly exemplifies what I'm talking about. You know, the president says, oh, well, you know, I get a tax break that I don't need. Well, if he didn't need it, he didn't have to take it. And if you look at the Obama's tax return, he filed under the lower tax rates that have been in place for the last 10 years. But then he goes out and he seemingly blows the silent dog whistle to try to get people to say, ooh, class envy. Look how much money Governor Romney has. Governor Romney, if you look at the amount of money, and you and I had an exchange about this yesterday, if you look at the amount of money that he paid in taxes and gave away in corporate or in charitable contributions, he gave 42%. When is enough enough? And I'm just tired of the class warfare that we've heard and seen from the president.
And from Newt Gingrich, we should point out. I mean, the biggest class warrior in the presidential race so far arguably has been Newt Gingrich. So this is not something that is one party. Of course, the president is using the rhetoric of equality. But, something that I think that we have to realize is that I think we need to put to bed this whole argument about redistribution of wealth, because that's what government does. I mean, as a single woman in my 40s, I have paid taxes for other people's kids, other people's parents, whatever. That's what I mean. And I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying that government is built to redistribute wealth. And I think that the question is President Obama's scope and plan for redistributing wealth actually what the country wants? I think in some cases what he proposed in the State of the Union was very much on the minds of the people, talking about regulation of the financial industries. In some cases it was a little kind of drifty, like kids must stay in school till 18. That's great in theory, but who's going to enforce that? So I think it's always a question of not, you know, whether government redistributes wealth, whether or not there should be fairness. Of course there should be fairness, but what is the structure? What's the plan?
The president calling Congress to task and sort of taking apart this idea of class warfare, Farai Chidea. What did you think of the president's defense of a record that can very easily be picked apart as weak? The right track, wrong track numbers. Most Americans think the country's on the wrong track. The economy is certainly weak. Unemployment is high. President Obama is blamed for that. Did he make a credible case to defend himself? Because he's going to have to.
You know, interestingly, I think that he spent one of my big critiques of the speech is that he spent a lot of time proposing, you know, a scattershot of new programs and not necessarily addressing that central question. There's no question that there has been job growth under President Obama, but I do think that some of the ways that he framed that job growth, he was careful to say business growth, because you do see a continuing decline in public sector employment. And, of course, the irony is that primarily affects Obama or not primarily affects, but disproportionately affects Obama voters. And African Americans have been the hardest hit by public sector employment declines. So when people talk about, you know, what is his record, I would argue that Obama's voters have actually suffered more during this last, you know, 3.5 years than some other voters.
And certainly the White House's poll tested the language of talking about business employment versus public sector employment, I'm sure. Ron Christie, I know that you think the president's record is weak. Did you hear, in your objective sense, a decent defense of a president who's presided over a weak economy and needs to get reelected?
No, I didn't. I actually agree very much with what Farai had to say. I think the president was very wise to ignore many of the promises he's broken. If you look at his previous State of the Union addresses, he promised that he would cut the deficit in half by the end of his first term. He hasn't done that. If you look at the very, very beginning of when he first came into office, he promised, of course, that if we had passed a stimulus bill that, you know, unemployment right now, according to the report issued by his economists, would be 6.5%, and it's 2 points higher. So I think he did a very good job of talking in lofty rhetoric, offering a few sort of ticky-tack, feel-good proposals that most economists, from what I've been reading in the last 12 hours or so, have indicated won't stimulate the economy between now and November. But he did what he had to do, which was to lay out his objectives moving forward and to try to draw a contrast with his Republican opponents. But no, I don't think he did a very good job last night of defending his record, talking about the significant increase in the deficit, which he didn't touch at all, and really how many of his proposals in the past haven't come to fruition in the present.
Ron Christie, quickly, I want to get this from both of you. The president, of course, said two things. Osama bin Laden is dead. The war in Iraq is over. I did things the past administration can't do on national security. Are Republicans scared of that?
No, absolutely not. I think, of course, we should all take pride that we brought Osama bin Laden to justice. But there are many in the military, of which he presides as commander-in-chief, who think he drew down the forces in Iraq too soon.
Farai Chaudhary, are Republicans, should Republicans be afraid of that rhetoric? Osama is dead, the war in Iraq is over, the war in Afghanistan is winding down.
Absolutely. It worked.
It worked.
It worked. In the speech, no one can not applaud or sit on their hands when the president says that. So he's found that unifying theme.
In an economy election, does the president get credit, however, for things that take place overseas when people are fundamentally concerned about their jobs?
He gets credit for it. Is it enough? That's another question.
That will be the question. Well, we saw a president last night framing his reelection, trying to isolate a do-nothing Congress and even taking a jab at an unnamed Mitt Romney. At least that's what I heard in the speech when he talked about envy. We are talking with Farai Chaudhary, a journalist and blogger at Farai.com, and, of course, Ron Christie, Republican political strategist, political contributor here at The Takeaway, and my friend on Twitter. Guys, thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.